Well, my message this morning is on Psalm 136. It's called Thanking God. And friends, I want to tell you that I have the material for this message. Yes, I do. Want to see the material I've got for this message? There he is. Look at that. He's all dressed up in his St. Patrick's Day outfit. You see that? Now, I don't know that there's any Irish in him. Some Scot and some German Mennonite, I guess, something like that. I don't know what color that is, but there he is, Luke Tyler Bowman, born last Monday, about 5:10. And this little lad has, he's captured my heart. I mean, after all, I'm his grandfather, right? And I thank God upon every remembrance of him. And that's often. I think of him a lot. And I believe I will to the end of my days. But you know, there's someone else I've been thinking of, and I don't have the picture. How I wish I had the picture. I saw this picture. It was mounted on a wall board at a memorial service that I had on Friday. It was a picture of Richard the Cheka. And he sat right in this row here, had a black pillow there that he sat on. Because you see, he was just a wee little Scotsman with an Italian name. But a wonderful, wonderful man. And this picture of Richard was of Richard when he was with the Geritol Follies. Who's ever heard of that, eh? And this wee little Scotsman, well, you wouldn't believe what he was doing. Sydney, come on up and help me here. And she's going to give you a little idea of what this Richard DeCheka was doing. Just come on up here, turn around, and do what I saw you in the gathering hall when I came in here this morning. There we go, okay. Thank you, Sydney. Here was Richard in his tutu. Pirouetting. Oh, if you could have seen some of the other pictures of him. They were doing some kind of Polynesian night, okay? And he had his coconut bra on. Oh, gee. Did I actually say that in church? I thank God for Luke in his birth. I thank God for Richard in his new birth as a brother in Christ. He's in the presence of God. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 136, and those first 9 verses give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And you know, if you can catch something of the picture that's of that word give. You know, I said I give thanks to God for Luke. I give thanks to God for Richard. Well, this word give thanks. It has a in the Hebrew a very rich and wonderful meaning. It means to throw something, to cast something out there. You know, think of it like this. You throw your thanksgiving to God. Okay, wind up, okay? And you throw your thanksgiving to God, or you cast your gratitude to God. You put it out there, and you let God catch it. Toss those things that are in your heart that well up with gratitude and thanksgiving, and you toss them to God, and he doesn't miss one of them. He catches every single one. You know, the suggestion that's here is that you're so brimmed up, overflowing, that it's, I don't want to picture it like a can of fizzy pop or anything like that, but you know, when the lid comes off, it just got to go. You've got to get it out there. You've got to express it. You have to say it. The thanksgiving has got to get out. Give thanks to the Lord. Now why? Because the Lord is good, and God is faithful, God is loyal in every expression of his love towards us. The faithful love of God, it knows no ending. And I hope you get the sense as the scripture was read, and just even in these these pictures, that this is not, you know, just the kind of the mental, doctrinal, conceptual, philosophical understanding. God is good and God is faithful and God is loyal and all the rest of that. This is actually the goodness of God. I mean, you see it. You visibly, tangibly see it. You experience it. It's like God experiences, okay? You experience it in your life. God experienced through His activity, His very direct and personal involvement in your life. When you know, when I know the hand of God, be it in a celebratory time like the birth of a child, be it even in the time of loss, when you know the hand of God in your life, you're experiencing that, you thank you, God. Thank you, God. And the Lord catches them, every single one of them. But you know, it doesn't end there at all. You know, some of us, I don't know what it is, but some of us have this tendency to go public with our complaints. Ever known that? None of you ever done that, right? But you must know at least one person in your life, in your life circle, who's gone public with their complaints. Yesterday at breakfast, the breakfast crew, the kitchen crew, did a very wonderful and nice thing. They had this beautifully embossed blue and white plate, Toronto Maple Leaf plate, actually. And they, do you know where I'm going with this? They put scrambled eggs and sausage on it, covered it all up, and then they took it and they put it down in front of Len Scobie. And Len started to eat his scrambled eggs. He had a bit of a smile on his face. And then he saw what was underneath the scrambled eggs. And he yelled out so that his voice filled that gathering hall, "These eggs are contaminated!" The voice of complaint very publicly expressed. Well, the psalmist, he went public with his thanksgiving. And you see, here's the thing. The honor just simply multiplies to God when we go public with our thanksgiving. Yes, it's really excellent. Yes, it's really good to express your thanksgivings to God in your private devotion. But when you go public, and not just rote and not just obligation, but when you go public with your heartfelt thanks to God, it's like it just multiplies and it grows. I think here in Knox, I've got a lot to learn. I know I've got a lot to learn. I think we all do, about giving public thanks to God. You know, sometimes I feel, and maybe I'm the responsible one here, probably I am, but sometimes, you know, our services can be so structured. And I can be, and we can be so time-obsessed. Now, we have to be to a certain extent because there's another service coming in here afterwards. I get that. But to give that opportunity, to allow that freedom for us to share our thanksgivings. You know, who's thankful here this morning? Well, we could be here the rest of the day then, couldn't we? But, you know, we've got a portable mic. Think of it. Just simple, brief, little expressions of the gratitude. Wherever it comes from, for whoever it is that are in your heart and your life. And think of how that builds up and that strengthens. And think of how it just cascades and it just multiplies the honor that goes to God. It gives added glory to God to receive the public thanksgiving of His people. Now, I've said it this morning. We maybe won't do it this morning, but do not be surprised if that mic starts to rove. And pick it up and embrace it. It's not about you. It's about God and giving our gratitude. It's like sending God a worship note. That's what it's all about. And saying, thank you, to the Lord.
This whole thing also, I have to say this part of it because it's learning to be thankful even in the day of trouble. And I'm not saying anything new here at all. You know this, and I know it, we all know it, that life gets hard and the troubles of life can really seem overwhelming and the challenges are just so heavy and burdensome. Giving thanks to God feels like it's the very last thing that would be on your list that you'd want to do. You prefer just to go to your private corner and be left alone, and you don't want to hear from anybody, and you don't want to give out anything yourself. I get that. Let me be honest, at least. I hope I can put this out here in a very real way. For myself, I don't want to, preachers do have this, this would be maybe what we would confess, because there's an appearance that we like to put on that, we've got it all together and just everything is fine and dandy and rosy. I don't want to be the one who masquerades a Christian facade, fake and phony and lives in denial of the very painful realities that are in my own life. And I don't want for you to have to do that when we gather together on Sunday mornings, that you feel like, I got to stay away. I can't come. I can't be there. But let me say this. It's almost, I think it's nigh to impossible to be thankful in the day of trouble, and that day of trouble comes to all of us, if we've not learned to be expressive in the day when life is going along so-called normal and without a hitch, without any sort of major event or hiccup or disaster taking place. One of the greatest examples of this to me, and I know that if you've heard the story, forgive me, I'm sure I've told it a multitude of times here. I know I have in other places because it's a meaningful one to me. It's the story about E. Stanley Jones, who was the wonderful Methodist missionary to India, lifelong missionary in India. And in his later years, he suffered a paralyzing stroke, and he was immobile. He lost all of his ability to move, but that didn't rob him of his faith. Here's what he said in his immobility. Okay, he said, "I need no outer props to hold up my faith, for my faith holds me." He tells the story in The Divine Yes of a letter that he got from a retired bishop in the church in India. And this bishop was frustrated and really unhappy. And he was asking Stanley Jones, what was the secret to happiness? He didn't have it. You see, he was outside of the limelight, the visibility of being a bishop, retired now. And E. Stanley Jones comments that he told him it was in self-surrender. The difference was giving up oneself, the innermost self, to Jesus. All the events and the situations and the circumstances of one's life. You see, with this bishop, when his life was, so to speak, broken by his retirement, the strands and the threads in his life were not strong enough to hold that, and they broke. And he didn't have faith at that point. And Stanley Jones writes this. He says, "Fortunately for me, surrender to Jesus was the primary thing." And he's talking about the whole of his life. "Fortunately for me, surrender to Jesus was the primary thing. And when the outer strands were cut by this stroke, my life didn't shake." Now, I just transfer that to giving thanks. Fortunately for us, the primary thing is having this heartfelt expression, private and public, of giving thanks to God, so that when the day of trouble comes, I can say, "It is well with my soul. It is well with me. I give thanks to God." And the way into that is being able to give thanks in the large and the small of life. Colossians 3 verse 15 encourages us to always be thankful. In other words, thankfulness is to be the very way of life that we live, always a part of our lives. And the eyes of our heart, they really have to learn and grow in this, develop this attitude of gratitude, as I can put it, a thanksgiving outlook. For the psalmist in Psalm 136, it was seeing, the verses that we read, it was seeing God's faithful love, the goodness of God in creation. You know, the sun, the moon, and the stars of the night. You know, we can maybe see it in the person sitting next to us, can't we, Ian? And we can thank God for her, right? That was pretty. Can you? Do you need a microphone? Oh, thank you. he didn't know that was coming, but he's still a very honest guy. I mean, the measure of gratitude to God that you have for the person sitting near or next to you may be small or it may be large, but it's still there. They're your brother or your sister in Christ. It could be in the gift of music that we have. We prayed about this before the service started this morning, that we'd respond to this singing with a gratitude to God for the gift of song, the leadership in music that we have. It could be the food that you're going to be having for lunch. Maybe you don't know what that is yet, but, you know, giving thanks for that. It's taking time in the routine and the mundane, in the large and the small, to have the eyes of your heart trained to be able to see where God is at work, where God is involved, where God is active, and not being like the nine who went away without saying thanks, but like the one who returned to Jesus and said, "Thank you, Lord." It leads me to my next one, because I know this is true for me, to have this reawakening in my life of this attitude of gratitude, if I could put it in that kind of wording. And really, this is just to begin to develop a deep, thankful kind of personality. That the word of thanks off of our lips, it doesn't come hard. It just comes easy. And the way into that, to reawakening to that, is even if you have to carry along a little pad and just, as you're going through the day, just write it down. Write a list of the things around you that you're experiencing, that you see, that you can give thanks to God. You see, it takes time to train the mind to really meditate on the goodness of the Lord. It's like the mind's got to be reprogrammed for some of us, because right now it's programmed by and large on negativity. All right? Oh, these eggs are contaminated. But Paul says in Romans 12:2, that you may be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when that happens, when that sense of gratitude grows in your life, you know what it does? It opens up your heart to see and experience even more fresh revelations, fresh experiences of God's love and grace in your life. And the larger your spirit of thanksgiving, I'm going to lay this marker down, okay? The larger your experience of thanksgiving, the more that God is going to be able to pour into your life. The abundance and the richness and the extravagance of his love. He wants to. He's waiting to. But if I'm always going around with a clenched fist and a bitter heart, can he? No. But when my life's opened up, it just becomes opened also then to receive. And all of this, I think, is ultimately rooted in last point being thankful to God for the cross, for the death of Christ. Because when we allow the wonder, and we're going to be coming, moving through, and this, Mary said, you know, beginning next Sunday, Palm Sunday, through Holy Week, Monday, Thursday evening, and Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday, when we have our heart awakened to the wonder of what God has done in Christ for us on the cross, when we're opened up wide to that, then the thanks living is what results and what happens. When we focus our gaze on Jesus, I've realized this, you know, even recently. When your gaze is on Jesus, you realize that you have no rights. There is this really deeply entrenched in our society and culture attitude of entitlement. And we have no rights. We really don't. But what we do have is the right one. That's who we have. We have Jesus, who has conquered death. He's taken all of the hurt and the pain and the woundedness. He's taken all of the sin and all of the ugliness and distortion and dysfunction of this world, and he's taken it into himself. He's died to it. He's put it to death. And then he's conquered over it. And when we get that, then our lives are just awakened in a way as never before. The praise team can come up. I want to quote to you just... we're going to sing a song, We Receive Your Blessing, but I want to quote to you a song written by Matt Redmond. And we've sang it here, I think, before. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place again. And once again, I look upon the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your blessing. I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. Once again, I pour out my life. I'm humbled by your blessing. And I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank you. And once again, I pour out my life. Would you stand as we sing, We Receive Your Blessing, and let the experience of these words, empowered by the Spirit of God, go to the deepest part of your being, open you up even this morning with a gratitude, a thanksgiving for God's blessing in your life, and give your life then. Give your life back to the Lord.
Grace, as we walk in the light shining from your face, may the peace that you give change the way that we live. We receive your blessing as we leave this place. We receive your blessing, we receive your grace. Change the way that we live. We receive your blessing. blessing as we leave this place.
Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Son.